This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
All right, in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the one who created all that exists, we thank him and we praise him, and on him we have reliance, and it is to him we only turn to for our true guidance, and we ask him to send his peace, blessings, and mercy on the best of human beings and prophets and messengers from Adam, Abraham, Noah, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, peace be upon them all, upon whom be praise until the very end of our days, and we ask for steadfastness, guidance, mercy, and to never lead us astray, and for him to save us on Judgment Day. So first of all, I'd like to thank the University of Birmingham, ISOC, for graciously accepting the invite of Like Media for us to come here in the blizzard of the beast from the east, right? Not me, the Russian snowstorm that's overtaking all of Birmingham. Took us a while to get here, but we're here, and we're just going to get into it. Today's discussion is regarding Noah's Ark, the Islamic edition or the Islamic narrative regarding Noah and his ark. As we all know, before I start any of these lectures with regards to the comparative narrative between the Muslim and the Christian or Judeo-Christian narrative, we have to understand that the Muslim narrative is that there is only one narrative. We don't believe there is a narrative only for Muslims, and a narrative only for Christians, and a narrative only for the Jewish tradition. We believe that God only sent one religion to all of humanity. And he sent prophets and messengers with revelation about that faith. And that faith was to believe in one God and to turn to one God, to worship one God, and to fulfill one's purpose in existence through the revelation that this God sent in order to inform humanity of their existence and their purpose in life. So he sent prophets and messengers, including from the very beginning Adam, all the way to Abraham, Noah before him, that we're going to discuss, and David and Solomon and John, and culminating with Muhammad, peace be upon him, the final messenger and prophet. So you have to understand this when you're talking about any of the Muslim narrative regarding the prophets and messengers, that we believe they are in fact the same prophets and messengers that came with one message, and that message is to worship one God, one creator. So when we're having this discussion, you should keep that in mind as we discuss it. So first of all, who was Noah? Noah was mentioned 40 times in the Quran. 40 times in the Quran, which is a lot. And he was mentioned in 26 out of 114 chapters in the Quran. And an entire chapter of the Quran, in fact, is dedicated to the prophet Noah. And his name is Nuh in Arabic, which we're going to talk about now. Noah, his name. His name in the Arabic language is Nuh. And in fact, that is actually very close to the Aramaic original and the Hebrew when they called Noah Nuach. Nuach meaning the one who takes rest and residence and stays for a long time. In the Arabic, from Inacha, which means to take rest and to stay for a very long time. So he was just literally like his name, meaning the one who spent 950 years calling to God. Just like the Judeo-Christian narrative, the Muslim narrative also says that he lived for 1,000 years, 950 of those years calling to God and the oneness of God. So his name was Nuach in Aramaic and in Hebrew, and the Kha sound in Arabic and Hebrew translates to Ha sound in Arabic. So therefore, in Arabic, his name would be Nuh. Instead of Nuach, it'd be Nuh. And that is why in Arabic, God actually calls him by his name the way it was in Hebrew and in Aramaic, and how it is said in the Arabic when you say it, translating the Kha sound to the Ha sound. So Noah was sent as a clear warner after his people started to over-venerate and deify human beings to the level of demigods. And how did this happen? The Muslim narrative clarifies this, of how humanity turned to idol worship. And that is that they started to over-venerate people who were holy. And these idols, as the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, mentioned, were named after righteous men from the time between Adam and Noah. So that we know first and foremost, Noah was relatively close to the time of Adam. Where was he in exact time period? Obviously, it was many, many hundreds, maybe thousands of years ago, obviously. And we don't know the exact particular date in the Islamic tradition. The fact that we know he was the first messenger after Adam. But how did he be sent to people is that people after the time of Adam started to over-venerate righteous individuals. that when these men died, Satan inspired the people of Noah to erect statues in honor of them at their gathering places of worship, where they used to come and sit, and they named these statues after these men. So they said, what? When we look at these statues, we will remember to worship God more. And it will remind us of the honor that these righteous men achieved by God consciousness and being righteous. So after that generation died, Satan suggested to the next generation that these statues were actually worshipped, and they benefited and harmed. And they therefore were then taken as idols by the following generation, which lost the meaning of what the purpose of these idols were in order to remind people of the worship of God. Then these statues subsequently were worshipped. And this happened in the generation subsequently, right before Noah's time and following by Noah's people. So they were righteous people, like we discussed. They then died. Their people erected idols. And these idols were used in order to remind them to be righteous to God. But they were used in the following generations to worship directly, thinking that these people benefited and harmed other than God. This is the narrative that Islam provides for why Noah was sent to his people. Noah sent his people to remind them of what their father was sent on earth for. To not disobey God and to turn back to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who we refer to as the one creator. So God then sends Noah. And what does he send him with? In chapter 71 of the Quran, the entire chapter is after the name of this prophet Noah. God says, we sent Noah to his people, saying to him, warn your people before a painful punishment comes to them. And so he said, my people, I am here as a plain warner to you, to serve God, be mindful of him, and obey me. I'm a messenger from this God, from the Creator. He will forgive you your sins and spare you until your appointed time. When God's appointed time arrives, it cannot be postponed. If only you understood. He said, my Lord, I called my people night and day, but the more I call them, the further they run away. And he said, every time I call them, so that you may forgive them, they thrust their fingers in their ears and they cover their heads with their garments so that Noah doesn't see them. And they persist in their rejection and they grow more insolent and arrogant. I have tried calling them openly. I have tried calling them publicly and speaking to them in private, but they persist in their rejection. God continues to tell the story of Noah. And he says, Noah says, I said, ask forgiveness of your Lord. He is ever forgiving. He will send down abundant rain from the sky for you, and he will give you wealth and sons. He will provide you with gardens and rivers. Why did he mention these particular things? That if you ask God for forgiveness, if you turn to God only, he will send you abundant rain from the skies, meaning he will provide for you sustenance, and he will give you wealth, and he will give you sons, children. And he will provide for you gardens and rivers in the hereafter. Why these three things in particular in the world, and the last one in the hereafter, you will see now. And that is, Noah wanted them to understand that their life is in control of the sole creator. And everything that they asked their demigods for, their idols, God is the sole provider. And he would say to them, what is the matter with you? Why will you not fear God's majesty when he has created you stage by stage, from being an infant who was helpless all the way till when you pass away at an old age, helpless? God created you in these stages, so only turn to God alone. He then tells them, have you ever wondered how God created the seven heavens, one above the other, placed the moon as a light in them and the sun as a lamp? How God made you spring forth from the earth like a plant, how he will return you into it and then bring you out again, and how he has spread the earth out so you can walk on its spacious paths. Basically, he's telling them to reflect in the universe. Reflect out how small you are. Reflect on the grandeur of this creation so that you realize that these created objects that you made with your own hands, they will not benefit or harm you. And he continues to mention basically what was the object of these people's adornment, and why they called to these demigods and idols for in vain. In essence, the story of Noah and Noah's Ark shows to us one important message in the Quran. And that is the essence of what causes human rejection and the validation of their sins. How do humans reject God's faith, and they validate their sin. It's personified in the story of the people of Noah. And that is, God says, these people responded to Noah and all those arguments that he made. And listen, don't call to things that don't benefit you. Don't call to things that will not remove from you harm, that will not give you sustenance, that will not give you wealth and children. You're calling to them in vain. Don't you know how you're created? Don't you know how the universe was? They responded by saying, we see. Now notice the word, see. We see you as nothing but a human being like ourselves. And we see that the only ones who follow you seem to be the weakest and most despised people. And we do not see you as better than we are. And we think that you are liars. So what is their seeing constantly that they're telling him? It's false perception. That humanity will have false perception of reality based on what's in front of them in their hands. We don't see what you're telling us. We see that you're weak. We see that you're just a human being just like us. So this false perception is a validation of their sin. And this is found in all of the prophets and messengers who rejected them. They saw a false perception. And God responds to this shortly, and we will explain this. So people's error is one of perspective, incapable of perceiving things as they really are. This is the essence of the rejection of God's message to humanity. How it will be in most cases is a false perception of how things and the way they really are. They said, we cannot see, though they claim to and disagree with Noah based on their sight. We can't see this, but it's really a choice of not being able to see. He's presenting to them evidences and saying to them, I have been sent to remind you that these things don't benefit you. The only thing that will benefit you is for you to turn to a sole creator who benefits and harms, and they refuse to have this vision. So Noah responds to them by calling attention to their lack of sight. In chapter 11 of the Quran, verse 28, Noah is said, says to his people, my people, do you not see? Do you not see? Everything that you have in front of you has been given by one God and one creator. These demigods have not helped you. Then God finishes it off with the story of Noah, of how they rejected the message, and ultimately they asked for the punishment to be sent on them. If you claim to be true, if you claim to be a real prophet and messenger, then rain down on us the punishment from God. So God, in the Quran, goes into immaculate detail in chapter 11, verses 28 all the way to 49, regarding the details of how this happened. He said that Noah said, my people, think, if I did have a clear sign from my Lord and he had given me grace of his own, though it was hidden from you, could we force you to accept it against your will? We can't force you. God will not force you to accept. You have to use your intellect. My people, I ask no reward for what I'm doing. I'm not here trying to be a king. I'm not trying to be here from the richest of men. My reward comes only from God. I will not drive away the faithful. Meaning the poor who accepted the faith are usually the ones who accept faith much faster than the rich. So the rich looked down upon him because the poor were only accepting. He said, I will not drive those who are faithful to God just because they're from a different class. They are sure to meet their Lord just like you are. I can see that you are foolish. My people, who could help me against God if I drove the faithful away? Meaning just to prefer you in your status, you're going to drive the weak and pour away. Will you not take heed? I am not telling you that I hold God's treasures or have knowledge of the unseen. Meaning I don't see except what God tells me. I cannot see the unseen. I don't know what's going to be in your future. So don't think that I myself am superhuman and that I am a demigod. Rather, I'm simply a messenger that came to him. Or that I am an angel, meaning I'm perfect. I'm a human being as well. And I commit mistakes as well. And this was the same message as all of the prophets and messengers before him. Nor do I say that God will not grant any good to those who are despised in your eyes. God himself knows best what is in their souls. Meaning God will judge the merit of and the character of a human being. And I don't even know that you outwardly may be against me, but God only knows your true end. God only knows your true judgment. If I did this, I would be one of the wrongdoers to judge you. To judge you even though that I am not in a position of judgment. He then says, they said, Noah, you have argued with us too long. Like, cut it out. It's been too long. It's 950 years ago and on and on. This is it. We're sick of it. Stop. Bring down on us the punishment you threaten us with, if you are telling the truth. They then asked for the punishment. So God said, this is it. When the people have had enough and they stop listening and ask for the punishment, then God says, this is it. If they themselves ask the punishment, God will then have given them the enough options and choices. And therefore, then God sent upon them, saying, Noah responded, it is God who will bring it down. It's not my choice. I'm not going to punish you. God will bring it down if he wishes, and you will not be able to escape. My advice will be no use to you if God wishes to leave you to your own delusions. He is your Lord, and to him you will be returned. Then God directs in this narrative a message to the Prophet Muhammad. And he says to Prophet Muhammad, say, if they tell you he has made this up, say Muhammad to them, if I made this up, I am responsible for my own crime, but I am innocent of the crimes that you commit. Because they were idol worshippers just like the people of Noah. And he's reminding them that I am the same messenger just like Noah came to his people. And you're saying the same thing that the Noah's people said to him. You're making this up. We've had enough of you. Quit with the poor being equaled in status as us and all of these other delusions that you're telling us. We've had enough. And he's saying to them, if I've committed the same crime, I'm not the one to judge you. You are responsible for your own judgment, just like the people of Noah were responsible for their own judgment when they asked God's punishment to rain on them. Then God says, it was revealed to Noah, none of your people will believe other than those who have already done so. Meaning, that's it. People have stopped. They're not going to accept anymore. So therefore, do not be distressed by what they do. And this is the attitude of a prophet and messenger and his people. They're concerned with humanity. They're concerned with humanity. And their want for people to be guided. So God tells him, build the ark under our watchful eyes. You don't remember how the people of Noah would say, we can't see with our eyes? God is kind of using a metaphor saying, you have and always will be under our watchful eyes. So build this ark, and without any plea for those who have done evil, they will be drowned. Don't worry about them, whoever they may be. So he began to build the ark, which is Noah's ark. And whenever the leaders of his people passed by, they would make fun of him. They would say, you may scorn us now, but we will come to scorn you. You will find out who will receive the humiliating punishment and whom a lasting suffering will descend because of what you asked for. So God says, when our command came, water gushed out of the earth and we set on to Moa. Place on board the ark a pair of every species and your own family except those against whom the sentence has already been passed. Even from your own family, which you will see shortly. And those who have believed, only few of those in his time actually believe, God says. And Noah says, board the ark in the name of God, it shall sail and anchor. My God is the most forgiving and most merciful. So it sailed with him on the mountains, and Noah sees as the ark is sailing, and the entire earth is filling with water, he sees his own son, not on the ship. And he sees him on a mountain trying to seek safety from the blizzard, right? He's trying to see safety from the massive amount of water that is gushing from the earth. And he says to him, come on board, my son. Do not stay with those who have disbelieved. But the son replied, I will seek refuge on a mountain, and the mountain will save me from water. Noah said, today there's no refuge from God's command, except for those whom he has mercy. And the waves cut them off, and they were split from each other, and his son was among those who drowned. And there's a lot of lessons to be learned in the story of Noah. Among them, that God calls mankind to see true reality and awaken from false perception. That we are living in a false perception of this material gain and world that we live in. God tells you, don't let it falsely lead you to delusion and see reality the way it is, understanding that there's a creator and that you have a purpose in life. Over-veneration of anyone leads to idolization. Don't idolize anyone thinking that they will benefit or harm you that is from the creation. Rather, turn to the Creator. Believing God ultimately benefits and harms. Call to Him and He will respond. And He will grant you safety and safe passage, even if you are small in number. God alone deserves to be worshipped. This is the primary purpose of all of the prophets and messengers. And patience in adversity and calling to truth. That even if you're one and your entire family don't believe, be like Noah, who had patience for 950 years, calling people true to faith. Lastly, truth is not inherited. Even Noah's son was among those who drowned and perished. It is something that everyone must search for and accept. And all will be judged in the sight of God. This is the narrative of Noah in the Muslim tradition. This noble prophet that stood steadfast and firm and had patience in the belief that God sent to all human beings and prophets. And that belief is the belief in one Lord, one God, one Creator, and to worship and turn to Him alone. As we know, Islam came about as a faith that all of the prophets and messengers accepted. In fact, Islam simply means the divine submission to the will of God. To submit yourself to the divine will of God. This is what Islam means. Therefore, anyone who does submission to the divine will of God is a Muslim. So therefore, Muslims believe all of the prophets and messengers, Jesus, Moses, David, Solomon, Adam, Noah, and Abraham, all of them were Muslims, those who submitted themselves to the divine will of God. And because subsequently every prophet and messenger that came, that their message was then corrupted by the hands of men who wished to change it for worldly gain, God would send subsequent prophets and messengers to remind humanity of that divine message. And therefore, because the message was corrupted after Noah, it was sent to Abraham. And when it was corrupted after Abraham, it was sent to his two sons, Isaac and Ishmael. And then the children of Israel through Jacob, and then Moses, and then David, and then Solomon, and then ultimately Jesus. And then it was corrupted again. It was a need for the final prophet and messenger with the final miracle, the final revelation from God until the day of judgment, which would be Muhammad, peace be upon him. And this is the Muslim narrative that we hold to this day, that all previous revelations have been corrupted from the time of Adam, Noah, etc., until our day, except the final revelation from God, which is the Quran. And that is why we end with this discussion, inshallah, with three suggestions for you to read. First of all, is the Quran itself. We recommend that you read the translation, which we believe to be one of the best translations, the Quran, the translation of the Quran by Oxford Press, M.A.S. Abdul Halim, translated. He's a professor in SOAS University. Excellent translation of the Quran, very accessible language, very easy language to understand. The second book, which we recommend to everybody, is In the Footsteps of the Prophet, by Tariq Ramadan, which is an excellent book introducing the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And the last book that, if you're interested in the comparative study between Christianity and Islam and the Judeo-Christian narrative with the Muslim narrative, there's a book called The Bible and the Quran, Biblical Figures in the Islamic Tradition. With that, I thank you so much for listening. I pray to God that He allows us to follow truth and to accept it, and that we reject falsehood where it may be, that He guides us and blesses us in our lives, and that He grants us His grace and His mercy and His forgiveness, and that He allows us to have mutual understanding with one another, to respect each other's traditions, to understand and have more discourse with one another between the Jewish faith and the Christian faith and the Muslim faith and the Abrahamic tradition and faith that brings us all together with one word, and that is the word of God, and that allows us to have discourse and be very honest of our traditions. And we ask Him to allow us to be in the highest of company with the prophets and messengers, with our families, in the highest of paradise. Thank you again, and God knows best. Assalamu alaikum.